First John chapter 1, we've been looking at verse 3. Verse 3 speaks of a twofold fellowship that you and I can enjoy throughout our lives. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. So there's a fellowship with one another. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We first looked at our fellowship with the Lord, which is the privilege of every child of God, is the opportunity of every child of God. And that is the foundation of our fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. And we've been looking at that, began looking at that last week. If we turn over to the book of Acts, chapter 4, by way of quick review, in Acts chapter 4, verse 23, talking about Peter and John being released from prison, being let go, they went to their own company, which of course was the church that was assembled in Jerusalem. But as we begin to look at this, their own company was a people who worshiped the Lord. They were assembled together, worshiping the Lord. Those are the people we ought to desire to fellowship with, those who worship the Lord, those who want to worship the Lord, those to whom it's important to worship the Lord. They were also a company of people that were filled with praise. We see that in verses 24 through verse 28. And again, we ought to find those people to be the most enjoyable to be with, people that are not ashamed to praise the Lord. Those are the people we ought to fellowship with. Those are the people we ought to have the most in common with. We see also that they were a praying people in verses 29 and 30 of Acts chapter 4. And also that they were people that were filled with God, filled with the Holy Spirit. They were also a people whom God had provided grace to. We see in Acts 4 and verse 33. And as you read on there in verse 34 and 35, there were people who were serving the Lord. They were a people who were not selfish. They were a people of sacrifice. They all brought whatever they had. And from that point, they handed it over to the church, and the church distributed as necessary. So in a world where there is very, very little example of good, I mean, you don't find too many good examples in the world. You do not find much that's going to encourage you at all spiritually. But God has, and He always has had, a remnant of people. A remnant of people that believe the truth. A remnant of people, they're not perfect, but they are a remnant of people that desire to do what's right. They are a remnant of people who desire to be close to God, a remnant of people who desire to please the Lord in everything that they do. And that remnant is always there. I mean, the Lord always has this remnant of people. And you and I that are serious about serving the Lord ought to search, ought to be on the lookout for that remnant of people that we can have fellowship with, because again, we are strangers and pilgrims in this world. Rather than trying to fit into a world that you cannot possibly fit into unless you adopt their ways, that's the only way you can even remotely fit in. But in a world that we do not fit in, We need to, instead of trying to fit in, we need to fellowship with people that we have something in common with concerning spiritual things. So there is a fellowship that we can have with the people of God. And this fellowship provides encouragement, provides great encouragement. It's a source of strength, because the world has a very powerful draining effect upon us. I mean, if all you do is go to work and those are the only people you are associated with, or go to school, you can read your Bible in the morning, you can read it at lunchtime, you can read it in the evening, but if all you're around is lost people or unspiritual people, it's going to have a draining effect upon you, whether you realize it or not. It may take a process of time, but it does drain us. And that's why it's important, in addition to reading and studying the Word of God, that we, because God's created us to be social. Again, it's not good for a man to be alone. God's created us to be social beings. And we need people. There are people who say, I don't need anybody. Well, that's not true. Everybody needs somebody. And we need to have people that we associate with. But again, if you associate with people that are unsaved or just not very spiritual, that drains you. So you need people that will encourage you spiritually. People who will rebuke you. If you start to get off track, they'll get you back on track. That's fellowship. And that's the kind of fellowship that we need, because the world will drain our strength. The world will drain the joy and the zeal from us, and the world will drag us down. No matter who we are, no matter how much time you spend, in the Word of God, if all you do is socialize with lost people and unspiritual people, you're going to be dragged down. There's just no getting around it. But in such a world, God has that remnant of people. God has that remnant of people who are of kindred spirit. In other words, there is a people for the people of God that we can find a friendship in. And I'm not saying that you can't have friends in the lost world. Certainly we can. But it's not the same. That friendship is not the same as a friendship with a child of God. And there's not the same encouragement that there is in a child of God. So there is a fellowship with the saints of God. The word fellow conveys the idea of a person in the same position we are in, or involved in the same activity that we're involved in. It means a companion, a friend, a comrade, a partner. Now, Paul used that word fellow many, many different times. Notice in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, the book of Colossians, chapter 1, notice in all of these verses how Paul uses the word fellow. Colossians 1 and verse 7. Has ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, a fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ? Notice he uses the same word again in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7. Colossians 4, verse 7. All my state, shall Tychicus, declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow and fellow servant in the Lord. You can find great encouragement. You can find great strength in someone who is serving the same God that you are, who is interested in serving the same God that you are. If you're interested in serving God and your friends are only interested in serving the world, there's a great conflict there. There's a tremendous conflict there. And fellowship is greatly limited and greatly strained. But when you can find a people who are fellow servants of God, that means serving God side by side. This ought to be so in every husband and wife, fellow servants. Every husband and wife ought to be fellow servants of the Lord. All brothers and sisters in Christ ought to be fellow servants in the Lord. That's fellowship. Serving the Lord together, that's fellowship. Then notice in the book of Colossians chapter 4, right along those same lines, Colossians 4 verse 11, and Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Paul speaks of some Jews of the circumcision, and he says they are my fellow workers in the kingdom of God. There's fellowship there. Fellow servants, that speaks of a position, where our position is one of servants. Fellow workers speaks of an activity, and it is fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, and he says, they have been a comfort unto me. That's where the child of God outside of the Lord will find comfort, in those who are working side by side in the kingdom of God. Then notice in the book of Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. A true yoke fellow. Again, that speaks of being joined together as a yoke. A true yoke fellow. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers. So he mentions some women who labored with him, and then he mentions other, in addition to these women, other, my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. In other words, he was certain of their salvation. But they had a fellowship. They worked together. And there should be a fellowship in working for the Lord, in doing the work of the Lord. There ought to be a fellowship in that. So there are fellow laborers. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2. And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, to comfort you concerning your faith. Again, we see that fellow labor, laboring in the gospel. And Paul was able to send Timothy, his fellow laborer, to establish some other individuals. It is to build them up spiritually and to comfort you concerning your faith. In the book of Philemon, verse 1, book of Philemon, verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Verse 24, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. So you see, there was always people. There was always people that were there for Paul. The Lord, no matter where Paul was, he could be in prison. There was always that remnant. There was always that remnant of people. Sometimes God's people get the feeling that they're like Elisha under the juniper tree. They get the feeling sorry for themselves. Oh, I'm the only one. No, you're not the only one. God has a remnant. He always has. And many times that remnant may be not too far from us, but we're too busy thinking that we're the only one. But we're not. There are fellow workers, fellow laborers, fellow servants. And then notice in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And verse 7. Romans 16. Verse 7. Salute Andronicus, Linnea, my kinsman. That's not a fleshly relationship, that's a spiritual relationship. And my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Fellow prisoners. Again, these are brothers and sisters in Christ that were going through the same thing. Experiencing the same thing. Paul refers to fellow prisoners in the book of Colossians, chapter 4 and verse 10, and in Philemon, verse 23. So we see even when Paul was in prison, God provided people for Paul to fellowship with. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, book of Philippians, chapter 2, and verse 25, Philippians 2, verse 25. And I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier. And fellow soldier. That means they fought side by side together in the same battle. My fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants or to my needs. Paul also spoke of those whom he had fellowship with as brothers and sisters in Christ. And brothers and sisters speaks of a common source of life. Brothers and sisters have the same source of life. It speaks of a relationship. It speaks of a bond. It speaks of someone who has similar experiences. And that's the fellowship that we can have with children of God. You may be able to share similar experiences with your unsaved neighbors, with your unsaved relatives, but they're very limited. You do not have similar spiritual experiences. You may have similar lifetime experiences. You may have experienced some of the same circumstances. And in that, you can find some fellowship with them. And you can even find some help. But there's no spiritual fellowship. And nothing is more important than spiritual fellowship. A brother conveys the idea of affection. It conveys the idea of understanding and support and encouragement and all of those things. And that's where the child of God finds these things, is in brothers and sisters in Christ. Notice in Philippians chapter 1, Paul writing to the church at Philippi, and he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel. For your fellowship in the gospel. from the first day until now. There, that's a fellowship that you cannot have with any lost person. Doesn't matter who that lost person is. It can be your mother, it can be your father. You can have fellowship with them in a lot of, from a lot of different aspects, but you cannot fellowship with them in the gospel. And that's the sweetest fellowship on this earth, is spiritual fellowship. And Paul says, I thank God for your fellowship in the gospel. So we ought to find joy in fellowshipping with one another. And if we turn over to 1 Corinthians, Paul speaks of greeting one another. And if you're to greet somebody means you address them, it means that you salute them, you welcome them, you receive them. That's what it means to greet. And in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 20, 1 Corinthians 16 verse 20, he says, all the brethren greet you. That is to the church of Corinth. Then he speaks directly to the church of Corinth. He says, greet ye one another. That is to the church of Corinth. It's like saying, everyone sends greetings. Everyone said, brother so-and-so said to say hi. That's sending greetings to you. But he said, greet ye one another. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss, which would be the same as our handshake today. But we're to greet one another. We're to address one another, because we ought to be glad to see one another. You spend several days in the world, and you come to the house of God, and now there's a people. You've spent your time in the world. They've had somewhat of a draining effect upon you. Now you're with a people that you can fellowship with spiritually. All the greetings that ought to take place in the house of God. It's bothered me for a long time, and this is true everywhere. People just, a lot of times, don't say hi to anybody. We are to greet one another. And I believe that means by, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 26. He says, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. But then notice in 3 John, the book of 3 John, verse 14. But I trust I shall come shortly to see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Again, they say hello. But then notice what it says. Greet the friends by name. Greet the friends by name. Don't you say that? That's much more than walking in the door. Greet them by name. It means, I'm glad to see you. I've been with lost people for the last few days, and I'm glad to be in the house of God. Glad to see you, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, and we're glad to see one another. That's fellowship. It ought to excite us to, after spending time in the world, it ought to excite us to come amongst the people that we have something in common with spiritually. Isn't it sad? I mean, it's terribly sad that people can put up with the cursing at work, and they can go into work and say, good morning, Fred, or whatever their name is, and call them by name, And then they come into the house of God and barely speak to one another because months ago or a year or two ago, so-and-so did such and such. And they treat lost people better than they do the people that they can truly have fellowship with in the world. That's sad. It really is. And I believe there's a lot of reasons for that, and that's another message. But perhaps one of the reasons is sometimes I think maybe we expect too much from children of God. That we almost expect perfection from them. Well, we don't want them to expect that from us, because after all, no one's perfect. But we almost expect perfection from them. And if they fail that in any way, we get upset. Yet we can go with our co-workers, they curse, they brag about their adultery and their fornication, and we get along with them. Something's wrong. I mean, something is terribly wrong. So there is a fellowship that we can have with people of God. And that ought to just thrill us. That's why many times you can go to a Bible conference, travel miles and miles and miles, drive for hours and hours, just walk in the door, see some people, maybe get a phone call and you have to leave, but it's been worth the trip. It really has, just to see people. The same is true coming to church, same thing. Maybe you walk in the door, you get sick, you've got to leave. Or you get a phone call, you have to leave. Whatever. But it was worth the trip. Just to see the saints of God should make it worth it all. And so we ought to desire to fellowship with one another. Ought to desire that fellowship. And I'm glad that God has provided that opportunity for us to have fellowship first and foremost with God. So I'm never alone. Never alone. But then God also has provided, in His own miraculous ways, He has provided people that we can fellowship with. I mean, there are saints of God that, as far as personalities, we may have a difficult time getting along. I mean, it's not the person that you would necessarily choose to be friends with because of personality conflicts. But there's still, even that, there's still a spiritual connection that you don't have with anybody else in the world. And so there's still a fellowship that you can have. I mean, I'd rather be around a saved person that I don't like than a lost person I do like. And that's the truth. Because there is some kind of fellowship that we can always have with the saints. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer.